This is Scott Buttram. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm here now with, I need to tell you our station call letters. It's News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. You can join the conversation at 866-494-9866. I think I talked over myself coming in on that last break, and Copper's trying her very best to keep me on the straight and narrow. I'm joined now by Erica Thomas. Erica is the managing editor for 1819 News, a relatively new statewide news organization.
Yes.
And Erica, I guess we should go ahead and
disclaimer.
Put the disclaimer out.
Yeah.
Erica is the former managing editor of the Trustful Tribune. You led our paper for what, about 3 years?
Just almost 3 years, yeah.
And I will also say, because she already knows this, one of my favorite people in the world. So
back at you.
She has come to my rescue. To sit in. Erica, I have spent probably the last, well, we came on the air at 2 o'clock. So I've been venting a little bit about AEA and the importance of school choice in Alabama. We've got a little bit. This is an important time and a great time to expand it. But their influence, we've also talked a little bit about the Literacy Act of Alabama, and should kick in this school year. The legislature in the last session, not the last special session, last regular session, tried to delay it. Ivy vetoed it. And now Ivy has gone full bore. I've made a mistake. We need to delay it. So, and we don't know what will happen. The legislature would have to approve that. They would have to bring it up and approve it. So nothing may happen. And it may kick in like it's scheduled to. But you've been doing reporting for 1819 News, and I've seen you work. I know how it works. I know that you spend a great deal of time building background and talking to people, important people, and in whatever subject matter you're looking into. You've been looking into education in Alabama and talking to parents. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, my interest in education really started when I worked at the Trustful Tribune. Mm-hmm. I mean, great community newspaper. I really got to infuse myself into all those small communities that we covered there. And I started going to all of these school board meetings and just learning how schools worked. Mm-hmm. Because I'm 36 years old. I don't have any kids.
Right.
I don't have a dog in that fight. Right. I mean, I do pay taxes, so.
Yeah, but that not having children, not having that emotional attachment into schools does put you in a very unique position to look at this without being emotional about it.
Absolutely, because, you know, I really care about people in general.
Yeah.
So finding out some of the things that I found out, dealing with some of the things that I dealt with within school boards, it really made me concerned about the future. I feel that we are selling our students short in the state of Alabama. I do think that there are really, really great school systems in the state, and one of them is in Trustful. At the same time, there's so much that they need to get ahead of now, and they just need to be transparent, be open. As far as school choice, we are definitely selling our children short here.
Right.
What are they scared of? What is the problem? And I always say to myself, if I had a child, what would I do? But all this school choice talk, it impacts me too, because my community that I live in, you know, wherever the good schools are is where the good property values are.
That's right. It does affect
Trustful
property
is value. A perfect example of that. You know, before they had their own school system, the property value wasn't what it is now.
It wasn't much different than the surrounding communities, frankly.
Exactly.
It was about the same.
And that's not great, not terrible, but I live in one of the surrounding communities, and I want my community to stay, you know, up to date. I want our education system to stay up to date. There's excuse after excuse after excuse of why we are on the bottom of list. It's whether maybe they don't have internet access, or they don't have credited teachers. Do something.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. And, you know, it's one of the things I think that one of the realities I believe that we need to face in Alabama. You tend to focus on the education in the area where you live, where your kids may be going to school. We get beat up. We get beat down. We get very depressed when these rankings come out, and Alabama is routinely 48th, 49th. And lately, we've had to suffer the worst humiliation of being 50th in some areas of education. That brings you down and that beats you up. But the fact is this. We do have public education systems in Alabama, school districts that could compete with any school district in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Their scores are there, their grades are there, and they're knocking it out. But then we've got school systems where only single-digit percentages of students are graduating proficient in math, English, science, the basic things they need to do to go into the world, and they're single digits. I have actually seen some school systems with 0% of graduates that are proficient in core subjects. So there is that big variety. But you know what? Even that lowest performing school system has students that education matters to. They want the best education they can get. They're willing to put in the work. They're willing to put in the time. They're willing to rise above their surroundings. But their parents may not have the financial wherewithal to move them to a private school.
And they don't have even the opportunity to allow their student a chance to come home, quietly study,
right,
do the work they need. And I want to say, too, it is not the teacher's fault here. We have the best teachers in the state of Alabama. I do not want anyone to ever think that I would say anything different than that.
Well, I think you know this. Our listeners don't know because they don't know me. This is the first time they've met me. But I am very defensive of public school teachers because I wake up with one every morning. My wife has been in the classroom for 26 years. And yes, I'm very biased. I think she is one of the finest teachers in Alabama public schools. 20 years in Trustful. She has been at Mountain Brook City Schools for the last 4 years, or in her fourth year there. She's also worked at Holt High School, where she started her career, which is an economically challenged area in Tuscaloosa County. She's absolutely loved every step that she's taken, and I see the dedication she puts in, and I realize she has the vast majority of her colleagues are just like her. So, no, this is not a blame the teacher.
No.
In fact, it's not a blame anybody, okay, because there are just reasons that this happens. Here's who is not to blame. The students are not to blame. They are in whatever situation they're in, and they can't control that. They can't control where their parents live. They can't control the conditions of the school. They can't control the economic situation of their family. But we do have areas of the state where some of these kids, especially high school age, they leave school every afternoon to go do a part-time job because they're helping mama pay the power bill. And they may be raised by a grandparent. They may not have the support at home. So if we're going to do public education, then let's give students every opportunity to succeed and rise out. Of this the cycle that they're in. One of the things you mentioned to me that I found fascinating, we didn't get a chance really to get into this, so I want to ask you about this now, and we may talk about this a little later during the day if I have to bring you back, but you said you've talked to parents who have a little bit of a fear factor.
Well, you know, all of this stuff that we've heard about school boards and how the National School Board Association wanted the feds to come in.
Right.
If there was ever any hostile parents. I mean, what does that even mean? You know, bringing the feds with their guns ablazing because you've got a parent upset. Parents have the right to be upset about some of the stuff that's happening in Alabama schools. They have the right to voice their concerns and make change. And this is a perfect example of how we at a local level can make a difference in things that really matter, not only to ourselves, but to our communities. So it all starts on that local level. And you have to go to these meetings. You have to stay involved. You have to know what's happening in your city, your county, your state, in order for anything else to change nationwide. You know, we've got all these issues that we're dealing with right now in the United States, but it all starts in our own backyards. We have to take control of ourselves. We have to get it together. So some of the parents that I've talked to, they're worried about even going to a board meeting. You know, when COVID happened, a lot of these school board meetings were closed off to the public. There was no way for anyone to get a concern out, a question, at a time where we were dealing with a pandemic and changes that were unprecedented for all schools, school administrators, superintendents. But then those superintendents that I worked alongside at that time, well, worked around because I was just reporting on them.
Sure, you're
covering. Didn't do anything to make it easier for parents to voice concerns. It's almost like they don't want to hear from them, and when they do, they completely shut them down, and that's got to stop.
It does. And Erica, let me ask you, because you covered school board meetings for an extended period of time that were held over Zoom, right?
Yes.
Was there any accommodation or opportunity for public comments from parents or the community during those meetings?
They were able to email questions. They could call ahead and get their questions in. The thing is, even when you're in person, a lot of the meetings that I was at, the questions were not addressed at all. They were heard.
Right.
By other community members, but they were never answered.
The school board itself was non-responsive. They would hear the parents,
right,
but they would not engage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw that a lot in Trustful.
Yes.
Where it was almost like there was a mindset there that they had been told maybe don't engage with the parents. Is that?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. You know, I would only be assuming if I said that. But for multiple people to not respond to emotional, hurt, concerned parents, that concerns me. So if there isn't some higher force telling them not to say something, then I don't know what it is. But the people need to pay attention to who is becoming a school board member, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that leads me to my next question for you. Given the number, and folks, y'all may not realize this, but the Tribune I mentioned earlier covers 8 cities. That includes at least 4 separate school systems. And Erica has been in and out of probably
all of them.
Every one of them, not just board meetings, but board work sessions and really seeing the inner workings. Erica, one of the things that I think about a lot when I see a parent show up at a board meeting to address the school board, I'm not sure people understand that's the last resort for that parent. These parents are not public speakers. They're not public figures. They do not feel great about standing and sharing a concern during a public meeting at a microphone with the school board. Do these board members understand, in your estimation, how very difficult it is for that parent to even show up and address them in public?
You know, I can't speak on what a certain board member might be thinking, but if you had seen some of these parents coming with this heartbreak and just pouring out everything that they have, just go into this last resort, they would be absolutely heartless to not recognize that. And I just don't think that's the case. I think the school board members are doing what they can. I think that they sign up for that because they want to help. They have the best of intentions. Some school board members, I'm sure, in some places don't. But for the most part, I think that they all do it for the better good, and they're trying. But there's some sort of problem when I think if you let just anybody respond to a concerned parent like that, they might say the wrong thing. It's not really exactly how the entire school system feels. So they might not say the superintendent doesn't want a school board member to respond to a citizen. That might be because they want to go over their answers first before they address the public. And I get that. I worked for you. We had several reporters that worked for us. We wouldn't want someone calling to complain and then letting a reporter address the issue. We would want management to address that issue.
Right.
It makes sense.
It's a good point.
There can be things put into place to kind of make it easier for parents. They're already going through so much. I know the schools are too. But you have their children all day.
Yeah.
You are in charge of where they will go in life.
That's right.
So those parents deserve to be heard.
Yeah, the parents are entrusting their children with you. That's a pretty good sign of confidence. And I'm not going to pretend that I know every school board member in all 4 of the districts where the Tribune covers. I do, and even in Trustful, I know different I know all the board members. I know who they are. I know them at varying levels on a personal level. I will say this, that the five board members at Trustful City Schools, I view all five of them as people of very, very high integrity, people who have been successful in their careers. I think they are honest and as well-meaning as you could possibly ask for to sit on a school board. But I have sat in those meetings and seen a parent pour out their heart and then walk away from that microphone with silence.
Crickets. And you just want to run up to them and hug them.
Yeah,
you know?
It's but like, I almost feel like they've been told not to interact. And I think it ends up giving them maybe an undeserved bad rap when they don't react to these parents and at least have some kind of back and forth with them. They're not going to get the problem solved in a public meeting.
I
get that.
The parents don't go to it for that. That's not their expectation. They want to be heard.
Right. And I think they want to be acknowledged.
Yes.
You know,
and they deserve that.
That somebody does hear them and then they will look into it. So we've seen that, and I'm sure that plays out at different boards across the state of Alabama.
Actually, it is all over the state of Alabama. I talked to the communications people with the Alabama School Boards Association a couple of months ago before they decided to withdraw from the National Association.
Right, which, and by the way, you did a great story on that, and the Tribune picked up your story.
Well, thank you, 1819news.com.
That's right.
But whenever I talked to her the first time, she told me that they've had reports of parents blocking school board members from leaving after meetings, using their vehicles to block them in so they could not leave.
In Alabama?
In Alabama. And she said, that is nothing new. This has been happening. I believe if these parents were heard and they knew they were being heard, this would not be happening. And then maybe we wouldn't have a call to bring in the feds.
Yeah,
you
kind of opened with that about Merrick Garland. And I will tell you, even as a conservative, I had high hopes for Merrick Garland. I thought he would be more moderate and more principled, and he has not been. He has politicized and weaponized the United States Department of Justice. That is just incomprehensible that that would be happening. And he has been the one who has tried to intimidate parents. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest with you. We've got some pretty decent media outlets in the state of Alabama. I feel like if board members' cars were being blocked in and they were being intimidated, we'd have heard about that.
Well, this is all information from the lady that speaks with superintendents directly and school board presidents directly. So there are so many things, Scott, that are kept hush, hush. Have you ever heard that Miranda Lambert song, Hush, Hush?
Uh-huh. Well,
don't you dare say a word, hush, hush.
Probably
you know
not
one.
As often as you've heard it.
Okay. Well, yeah, it may have been on repeat sometimes when I left some meetings. But in that, it's just like that song. It reminds you, like, there's so many things that are kept on the down low, you know. You might see a post about it on Facebook, but nobody really takes it that seriously. And then the news station, they're just too busy to look into stuff. And I'm sure this is a smaller town where this happened.
Yeah.
Where they probably don't have a media outlet. And that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Well,
I'm from Randolph County, by the way.
And you know, if it happened in any of the 7-8 cities that the Tribune covers, it would make the newspaper. And let me just go on record right now. I don't care where you stand. You should not be intimidating or harassing any appointed or elected official. Most of these folks, especially on the local level, like the board members at the Trustful City Schools, they don't get any money. There's no compensation there. Even the elected city council, the compensation is very, very small. No matter what, I do not justify intimidation or harassment by anybody under any circumstances. There's always a better way to solve things.
Thank you for that.
Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Let's talk a bit about 1819 News.
Please.
You guys have you've got a couple of months 3 months under your belt
Got
now?
About 60 days.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's still early.
You know, before we actually went live on 1819news.com, we were doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work.
Okay.
And so we've actually been working a lot longer, but I can definitely tell you all about it. I hear some music, so that's that.
Yeah, moment. It's about to end. I may be able to visit with you. We've got Paul DeMarco coming up next. Stay with us at Right Side Radio.